Hey, everybody. Welcome to Random Chatter. This is our review show for this week, and we are talking about the stuff that we have seen in the last week, stuff that we think you guys want to check out, and stuff that we think you guys want to avoid, if we have any of those this week. I'm not sure if we do or not, but let's get right to it this week. We don't have a lot of joint stuff this week. We usually have a few things that we kind of all have seen and kind of go over, but we have two quick things. BattleBots finale was this past week.
Yeah.
Did you guys have a chance to watch BattleBots finale?
Yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah? And what did you guys think?
There were some unexpected outcomes.
There were.
Really good matches, though.
That's true. Like,
really, really solidly good matches. I was impressed. I mean, there were some bots that were totally disassembled. We had a bot actually win a match on fire for like 2 minutes of the match, which was mind-blowing.
Nice. Yeah. I was like, what's on fire and why hasn't it stopped working yet?
Yeah. And we're not talking like little puff of smoke. We're talking like half of that bot was fully engulfed in flame. Yeah. That was like three feet high. It was incredible.
That was impressive. So how did your, we did brackets at the beginning of the championship. I don't know, Lou, you didn't break down a bracket, did you?
No, I had a bracket.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So how did you guys fare? I did okay for the 32 to 16. And then after that, I still did okay, but like there were a couple I expected to go a lot further that just didn't. I mean, Uppercut, I had slated, I think, to win the whole thing.
Me too.
Yeah.
And there were a couple that I was kind of on the fence about. But
my final was slated to be Uppercut and Copperhead. Mm. And Copperhead got eliminated so early, I think, in a really, really terrible call from the judges. And,
With their call.
I mean, I averaged, like, 50%. For, the first couple of rounds.
Oh, yeah.
But then eventually that catches up with you. And
it does.
None of my picks even made it to the quarterfinal. So, it was done. I was all done then.
I had one pick in the quarterfinal. So I had Endgame in the quarterfinals.
I did too. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have Endgame winning.
Uppercut, Valkyrie, and Bloodsport. And they all didn't make it.
Yeah.
I didn't take Valkyrie. I don't think I took Bloodsport either. I don't know. I mean, it sounds like we all three of us did okay. I did okay. I'm comfortable with how I did, all things considered.
And I don't think I had any problems with the judges, rulings. Some of them were kind of, could go either way. Yeah. And I could kind of see that. And I wasn't upset when they went the way I didn't want them to go. But for the most part, they were pretty much entertaining battles, I will say that. I mean, I thought the battles in the bracket were much better than the battles in the season, I thought.
Yeah.
A lot of them were, yeah. And pretty much any time, for as much as I respect the robot, not so much the driver, who I think is a arrogant jerk. Anytime I can see Tombstone lose, I'm a happy person. And I mean... the match that Tombstone lost was just like this incredible show of, once that weapon stops, he has absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of other bots can still push or do something if their primary weapon is out.
Not him.
He cannot. Nope. He has zero.
Right. Yep. Right.
Which, granted, I mean, the guy, multiple championships. I respect that. Mm-hmm. I mean, his bot is just a weapon.
Yeah, it's
one
trick pony, but
it's a good trick.
It's a good trick. And I mean, he's a good driver.
Oh, right. He's a very good driver.
He's a good tactician too. Like, he knows which side, like based on the rotation of his weapon, which side he needs to be on against certain bots. Yeah. He's good at what he does.
But, it's a two-wheeled bot, so that makes it really maneuverable. It can pivot and such. Mm-hmm. He uses a chain drive instead of a belt, which is a lot more durable.
Yeah.
We see so many bots who I have no idea why more bots aren't using chain drives. I mean, I know it's a little heavier, but not by much.
Mm.
because belts burn out and break all the time. We constantly see that.
And they burn out and break, and they'll break. So, you know, I work in the power equipment industry, so, you know, I'm familiar with belt breakage on mower decks and so forth. And when a blade hits something solid, you know, it's called a shock load, and the belt snaps. It's not like it rubbed through. The belt just snaps because it's under load. Yep. And I'm thinking to myself, these are a lot heavier than the blades we see on lawnmowers, and they're traveling at a lot faster speeds. How come these belts aren't breaking more often? But, yeah, I mean, this is my first season really watching BattleBots through, and so I consider myself a newbie here. But I was very happy with the season, very impressed with what was going on, and, you know, I can't wait until next season.
So. Yeah.
You should go back and watch some of the early ones, too.
I think I might.
I also want to see some of the older bots return. And we've gotten some really cool new ones in this season, although I don't know how Rusty got an award. What the heck was the award that Rusty got?
It was a sympathy award.
I don't know.
It was like the favorite like new bot. Yeah, it was like a best newcomer sort of thing.
Yeah. But, like, I would love to see Minotaur come back. Huge, huge fan of Minotaur. And Bronco.
Yeah, Bronco was good.
You know, I mean, Bronco was like the original power lifter.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, Hydra kind of, you know, took that spot because they were using different tech for their lift. But
you guys should
watch. And Minotaurs was always the really, you know, badass egg beater.
Yeah,
spinner.
Minotaur was a good bot. You guys should watch BattleBots Bounty Hunters, too. They've got some, they had some really, really good fights in that. It's basically, it's nothing radically different. It's just like more BattleBots, basically, but it's like miniature brackets every two episodes. There were some really good, really good battles there. So anyway, we don't have a lot overlapping this week. You guys watched Marvel Assembled, right? Marvel Studios Assembled.
Yes.
Speaking of WandaVision.
I have not. No.
Okay. I found it very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a really, really well done behind the scenes.
Was it a lot of good content? A lot of stuff we hadn't seen before?
I mean, there was a lot of stuff we haven't seen before. Was it good content? It was good. Yeah, like it's
insightful stuff.
To me, the Mandalorian ones were different because they were doing brand new things that had never been done before. In part, never been done before in Star Wars, and then otherwise never been done before just at all, like the volume.
Yeah.
The WandaVision behind the scenes stuff, the way that they handled the sitcom aspect of it with live audience and all that, that was really interesting because it hadn't been done before. Mm-hmm. Everything else, it was kind of like the normal stuff you would expect. And not that that's bad.
Yeah.
But like, it's nothing to write home about. It's, you know, you watch it and it's good. And then you do other
things.
I was
really excited. I mean, this thing was, I think, 55 minutes. Hmm. The sheer amount of interviews of cast and crew interview time in there was exceptional.
It was.
You had a lot of Paul Bettany, you had a lot of Lizzie Olson, you had a lot of Jack Schaefer, a lot of Catherine Hahn. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They went through like all the characters and their character arcs and talked about, you know, some of them talked about what they did and how they get into it. And, you know, they're talking about a lot of their big moments. So like for Vision, it was the Vision versus Vision thing. And for Catherine Hahn, her big thing was the, hey, I never got to like fly before. And I never got to be like, you know, this evil person before. And so, you had this whole story arc and stuff and really, really good stuff. And you do get kind of that peek behind of the special effects and the scoring. They had the husband and wife on who, it was just those two who did the scoring for the entire series.
That was interesting.
And it really is because the music used in every single show was different. They had common themes.
Yep.
But completely, the openings were completely different, which is just an amazing investment. And one thing we talked about it on MCU TV a couple days ago. One of the things that I liked, actually, I appreciated a lot out of it I noticed that during these interviews with cast and crew, mostly a couple of the crew members, while they were being interviewed, they kind of slipped and called it a film. And I think because of how it was shot in so many regards was like shooting a film for them. And because it's Marvel, because it's big and it's epic. And so to them, it felt like making a film. Even though there were some very specific things, I mean, you know, going back to the first episode, they showed how like, hey, here's how old school, you know, we used to do effects. And so they had, you know, the lobster on a wire going out the window and that, and it, like fantastic, really, really cool stuff. But yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Cool.
But Falcon Winter Soldier coming up this Friday.
This week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. So individually, I haven't seen a lot of new stuff. I think that is interesting. Although Debris, the NBC show, I've seen the second episode of that. I'm still hanging with it.
Still continues to be interesting and continues to have potential.
It's going in places I didn't think it would go too. I mean, the next week looks like there's some weird stuff, people being returned, I guess, from the Debris. But I don't know. They haven't really explained that. So I'm interested to see where it goes. On Tim's recommendation, I watched Pacific Rim Uprising.
And
wow, was there a lot of destruction?
A little bit.
I got halfway through it. I'm like, you know what? They should just let the kaiju win because the cities are useless when they get done. I mean, it's like we're using buildings to stop myself from falling over. It's like this just seems like it's just wanton destruction. But it was fun. It was definitely a fun movie.
You still got to kill the kaiju.
Yeah, yeah, I guess. I still don't get the whole two people to run the whole, but anyway.
Yeah, that's a rabbit hole we'll go down some other time.
Yeah, exactly. And then on rewatching stuff, I am up to season 3 of Babylon 5, so I'm still very happy going through the remastering episodes on HBO Max. So it's a lot of fun. Tim, what have you been up to?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. So 21 Bridges. The Chadwick Boseman movie came out
2019, right?
Yeah, yeah. Really good movie. So it is available. It's available on Amazon, but only to purchase. It's maybe like a $15 purchase, $12 or $15 purchase. And, you know, Robin and I kind of hemmed and hawed over it for a while, waiting like, oh, is it going to come up to rent? Because, you know, rental, then you'll pay $4 or $5. Finally, we just said, you know what? We want to see the movie. Let's see the movie. It's still cheaper than what we would pay going to the movies. So we got it, really liked it. Great, you know, plot twist toward the end of it. Have either of you guys seen it?
No, not yet.
Nope. No, was a plot twist that there was actually 17 bridges or?
No, no.
There was a 22nd bridge that was a secret bridge.
It was a tunnel.
So really good. I definitely recommend it. Another new thing that we saw two nights ago, was The Dig. And this is on Netflix, I believe. It's a Ralph Fiennes movie. It's set just leading into World War II in England. And he is... he's not an archaeologist. He is an excavator. And there's a woman who bought some property, and there's these mounds on her property. And she hires him to dig these mounds to see if there's something under them, like, you know, some kind of like Viking type of artifacts or anything like that. And so fundamentally, that's what it's about. Good movie. Good movie, you know, reasonably interesting, well paced, and interesting for the subject matter. So, you know, not bad. And it's Ralph Fiennes. So, you know, if you like Ralph Fiennes, it's good.
And Lily James is in it.
James is in it. Yes.
Oh, Eric.
Okay.
Eric, Lou and I will finish up. You can go.
Yeah, I'll go watch that right now.
Eric wasn't intrigued until that. Yeah.
I mean, that's the only thing that made Rebecca good. We covered that on the last episode of Movie Chatter.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Things I've watched again, The Martian. Good movie.
Good movie.
You know, enjoyable to see a couple times a year. Yeah,
Golden Globe for best comedy.
Yeah. And while it has its funny moments, it's not really a comedy. No. It had also, I decided to watch, and yes, the Ant-Man movies will be on this list.
Wait, what?
I decided that I was going to watch some of my least watched MCU films.
Wow.
So I'm going through them kind of in the chronological order.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched the first Thor movie and the second Thor movie. So Thor and Thor, the Dark World, movies I don't watch very often. I haven't seen them in a long time. The first Thor movie actually went down in my opinion a bit. And interestingly enough, Thor, the Dark World went up in my opinion.
I would agree on both those.
Really?
Okay. Especially now when you look at the storyline that you get going from Thor to Avengers to Thor, the Dark World to Ragnarok. Those four movies are so tightly interlaced for Thor and Loki, just absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't, you know, I used to have better appreciation for the story in the first Thor, and it's still fine. But I also realize the effects in it are terrible. The effects in Dark World are actually a lot better. And maybe it's just because you kind of know where things ultimately ended up. The story for Dark World, which I thought was always bad, has kind of improved in my opinion. So there it is.
Okay.
And, you know, you also, you get Darcy, who we saw a lot of WandaVision. And of course, we know in Thor: Love and Thunder, the fourth movie that's going to be coming out, Natalie Portman is coming back as Jane, who actually, my opinion of her has gone up a touch in this too. I think her acting is very flat in these movies. I'm hoping that it improves, but we'll see.
He's burying the lead. So Ant-Man, Tim.
I haven't watched it again.
You're getting
he's rewatching his least watched.
Oh, I thought he was saying that in doing that he had. Oh, okay.
No. Okay. I will be though.
You know, we can do a watch together for that if you want.
Oh, there you go. No.
Yeah, we can.
No, that's I don't need that kind of accountability. Thank you.
That's okay. We don't mind.
And then the last thing to mention, which Rob and I have been watching, it's kind of almost become a guilty pleasure the last few weeks. We find it's on Discovery. I don't know if I've mentioned it on here or not, is Airplane Repo.
I think you mentioned it last week, right?
You mentioned it last week. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So yeah, little more Airplane Repo. It's a lot of fun. Last night, I watched a couple episodes last night. Yeah. Did you? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause what'd
you think?
It was pretty good. I mean, it's definitely a reality-based show in the same vein of, Pearlies and Pitbulls and all those kind of shows. So it's fun for me in the fact that it's airplanes and I'm a pilot.
Yeah, yeah.
But, it's a little bit suspect as far as lights go. But yeah. I think I texted you last night. I'm like, you know, so, and not to get political here, but you know, people got arrested for stealing, you know, a $500,000 airplane, and nobody got shot. They just did what the police said, and you know,
this is true.
I will move on. Eric, what have you been watching?
Well, I managed to watch two big releases this week. Strike that. Reverse it. I managed to watch 1.5 big releases this week. I watched Raya and the Last Dragon, which is the big new...
That's the new one on Disney Plus.
Disney Plus release, yeah.
And that's a premium release, right? It is a premium. Right, I think, so it's... Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was really good.
It's been getting good reviews. People are talking about it pretty positively.
It's really good. I would consider watching it again. Soon. I mean, typically movies like this, I always end up watching again at some point, but this is one I would watch without necessarily having a specific reason to have to watch it. Okay. It was good.
And the lead in that is Kelly Marie Tran,
right? It is, yes. And okay. there are many other notable actors and actresses in it. It's got Awkwafina, Daniel Day-Kim, mm-hmm. and some others who I don't remember off the top of my head. But when you look at the cast, you're like, oh, yeah, I know them. And then Alan Tudyk does the voice of one of the animals.
Oh, nice.
It doesn't really count. But it was really good. It had the magic, if you will, of a typical Disney movie. But I thought the pacing was really strong. You never really got to a point where you felt like the story was dragging. You weren't looking at your watch. The characters were interesting and dynamic all the way through. Like, you kept adding a character here or there, but they had some depth to them. And then you get all the way up to the end, and a lot of times you get movies like this and the end just kind of falls flat. I think of like Onward.
That was a big one.
Movie
that.
Was yeah. okay, mm-hmm. but then it was like they had a good concept and they didn't know what to do with it. And this yep. is very much one of those movies where you're looking at the concept and you're like, ugh, there's no way. Like, how do you wrap this up in any way that means anything? Other than something that's ridiculously predictable and just, you know, yeah, whatever. But they do. They pull off an ending that has heart, it has meaning, it's interesting. It's good storytelling. It's a good movie.
Hmm.
So okay. I would definitely recommend it. Like, it's a premium, so it's hard to recommend people go and drop, what, like $30 on it? Because it feels pricey. But I will say that it is a good movie. And if you're on the fence, like if you're considering it enough to wonder whether you should go ahead and purchase it, you're probably already halfway there. Like, you're probably already in the demographic that's going to like the movie. So I'd say go ahead and do it. If you've got kids, cool. any age, I'd say, yeah. Well, I say any age, as far as like even older kids will still appreciate it. I mean, there's a point at which, you know, little kids might be too intense mm-hmm. in some scenes, but yeah, if you're single, maybe wait until it's free. But like, if you have multiple people in your household, I think it's worth it. The other thing, Cherry came out, I think Friday on Apple TV Plus. And I started watching it today and had plenty of time to finish it before tonight's recording and kept getting interrupted over and over again. And I didn't realize it's like a 2.5 hour long movie.
Wow.
Now, this is the new Tom Holland movie,
this is
right?
the new Tom Holland movie. There's some kind of time jumping around a little bit, but he joins the military. He ends up with PTSD. He comes home. He has problems. And this movie is a little bit about, it's mainly about him with the problems. The first act is kind of him before he joins the military. It's part one is him before he joins the military. Part two is him in the military. Part three is him home from the military and things not going well. Part four is him kind of falling down that rabbit hole. And I've still got not quite an hour left. Like, it's a long movie. I have to say, like, wow. I can't fairly review it because I didn't see the end of it. I will say that so far, I hope they find some way to make it more uplifting by the end, because right now it's uplifting in a way that's kind of like Uncut Gems, or if you've ever seen like the first 20 minutes of Saving Private Ryan.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's that level of, you know, ray of wow. sunshine.
The first 20 minutes of Saving Private Ryan, it's just. Awesome.
It's an uplifting
it's
film.
Intense. I mean, it's
exhausting.
It's an uplifting film in the same way that Requiem for a Dream by Darren Aronofsky is an uplifting movie. If you remember the end of that movie.
That's fair.
I hope it gets better. But here's the thing. It's done by the Russo brothers. It's a
oh yeah,
it's a well-crafted movie. Like, I can't complain about how the movie was made or the writing or anything like that. It's a solid movie. It's just like when I was in the military, I didn't end up with any severe issues. I didn't see combat. I was in the Middle East for a little bit of time. And there were still some things in this movie that kind of triggered me a little bit. I don't know. Like it's a really good, well-crafted movie. It's just, it's hard to watch. And I'm hoping that there's at least a little bit of ray of light somewhere by the time we hit the end, because right now it doesn't look likely, but, watch it at your own discretion. Again, good quality, but it's rough. I watched the South Park vaccination special. That's about all I have to say about that.
Yeah. I watched like 10 minutes and I was really bored and I moved on.
It got better. It didn't get better enough for me to recommend you go back and finish it. it kind of dealt with, you know, there was a lot of QAnon stuff. It got better, but it was, they should have just not even bothered with it, honestly. Superman and Lois, you were talking about that a week or two ago, Lou. I picked up the first episode of that. I don't know where I stand on it yet.
Yeah, I've seen, has there been two or three episodes out now? I think there's been three.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's okay. It's different than what I thought it was going to be. And I don't know what to think of him in that kind of a family role without spoiling anything, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah. It's okay. And I don't necessarily have a problem with it. I don't know that it... I find it that compelling. So I don't know if I'm going to stick with it or not. We'll see. I watched... Not that we have to talk about it necessarily, but I did go back and watch the Oprah Winfrey and Meghan Markle and Prince Harry interview. And I thought it was interesting.
I haven't seen the whole thing. I've seen bits and pieces. I've seen, you know, what they're showing on TV and stuff.
I enjoy listening to people be interviewed by people who cut right to the chase and ask serious questions. And yeah, you never know what kind of truth you're getting from anyone when you ask them questions. You're getting their side of things. But I lean more toward believing that things in that environment are not as everybody assumes they are. And I don't know. I enjoyed watching it.
You know, interestingly enough, I look at what's going on with this and I look at the stories that are being discussed. And part of me wants to say that, you know, I'm not sure why... If he wants to promote change within the royal family, why wouldn't he stay close to change from within?
I don't think he wanted to change it, though. I think he wanted to get out. I don't think he thinks it can change.
Well, maybe he thinks it can't change. Maybe that's why he got out entirely. But I mean, I would think that if you want to be the change in the world, you know, they always say be the change you want to see in the world, right? Mm-hmm. And wouldn't you have a better chance of changing the stodgy old world, you know, events, I guess, of the royal family by being in the royal family and still doing that? I mean,
let me present it with this.
Sixth in line for the throne.
Can you change a regime by being a prisoner of war? I mean, if you're trapped and don't have any agency, how much change are you able to accomplish? And if you look at the stuff he's done outside of, Britain, London, when he's traveled, when he's taken on different projects, didn't he serve in the military as well?
Yeah.
He
actually had a very, very good combat record.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For being a VIP, he's a helicopter pilot, basically the equivalent of like our special forces helicopter pilots.
And were there concessions? Maybe, but he was still actually out there in areas where he was at risk. And yeah, I mean, so I respect the fact that he did what he felt was right for his family, his immediate family. And, I can't speak for what happens inside Windsor Palace, but I can say that I have a lot of respect for his decision making and why he made the decisions he did. So,
yeah, and I get it. I just would have liked to have seen Shay, because you know the you talk about the revelations that were released from this interview, and I'm thinking to myself, so are any of us really surprised that this group of white privileged people are maybe a little racist? It doesn't strike me as being, oh my God, it's a big revelation. No, that's kind of what I agree. Thought it would be. You know, it's like,
I agree with him getting out. Own...
Yeah. Yeah. And I see your point. I just would think that if you want to make change, you know, if you're sixth in line to the throne, you probably get a better chance of changing that than being outside of that and having no control.
I don't know. That means you got to off five family members first. I don't know, Lou. Like, it's not.
Let's make this like it's old times, because that's how you used to get ahead in the world. You kill off your three nephew or your two nephews and your niece, and then your brother.
My gosh, I get what you're saying, and yes, but I also understand that there's a point at which if you feel you're trapped, you're powerless, you have tried to ask for help, you've tried to change things, and nothing is being changed. And now, like, it's one thing when it's just you, but when you have a wife, when you have children, sometimes doing the right thing is just removing yourself from that environment.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, nobody always makes perfect decisions. Could he have done something differently? I'm not saying he couldn't have, but I'm saying I respect the decision he made. And anyway, so I mean, people should consider watching the interview, form your own opinions on it. This sort of thing, it's always better, I think, to watch the actual thing that happened that everybody's talking about instead of only listening to what everybody's saying about it, regardless of what side it is. You know, I mean, you listen to us to get commentary on news and movies and stuff like that, but there's also a point at which you should just go watch the movie yourself and form your own opinion. I mean, we give our opinions and we acknowledge that they're just opinions, but ultimately you have to decide for yourself. And this is one of those things where, you know, everybody's going to form their own opinion on it. But I thought it was interesting to watch and listen to and to hear what their perspectives are, whether their perspectives are right or not. It was interesting to hear what their perspective is between the two of them. So, but that's all I got. That's been my week.
Yeah, it pretty much brings to the end of the episode. So,
yeah. All right. So, follow us on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, and go to randomchatter.com for all our audio podcasts and information about how to join our Discord server and help support the network through Patreon. And that's it. We are going to be back here in a few more minutes with more Random Chatter stuff. So until then, take care.